May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A Final Four Friday live right here on the early line on Sports Grid for the next 3 hours, all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Up until 11 a.m. Eastern time on this Final Four Friday, we get you set for Final Four Saturday night in San Antonio with all 4-1 seeds into the men's NCAA tournament and this final weekend of the Magic in the Big Dance. It is also Final Four Friday evening in the women's NCAA tournament. Mostly chopped, 3-1 seeds and a 2 seed, but that 2 seed is UConn, the national championship favorites and the odds-on favorite to win their region before the women's Big Dance got underway. A chalky weekend ahead, but we hope it is a sensational weekend on the hardwood as well. We'll set the stage for the second full weekend of this Major League Baseball regular season. Can the Dodgers start a perfect 9-0? We only have just about a week left in the NBA regular season, and postseason positioning needs to be firmed up. All of that and plenty more DRS over these next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah, a lot of fun to be had today on a Final Four Friday to look at tomorrow's epic games, all 4 number one seeds. We talked about them all week long. We'll keep you updated on where the totals sit and also the sides in those games and players that you need to want to watch out for. And also, are players injured going to make a high impact with their points total? So keep a hint on that one. But we're excited to talk about many, many topics, which includes Major League Baseball, the biggest series of the entire season taking place today in Philadelphia, the Dodgers and the Phillies. The winner of the series will win the World Series. That's my prediction. How about that?
Okay, DRS out of the gates firing on this Friday morning. The Philadelphia Phillies do host the Los Angeles Dodgers in what we might expect to be the NLCS when all is said and done. DRS, normally when a Friday comes to a close, we have to wait for at least 2 days to see each other on a Monday morning on the early line. Nope. Not this weekend. DRS and myself live, 6 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow night on a Saturday for the Final Four in San Antonio on Sports Grid's Bracket Central. We hope you enjoy that. We will set the stage for everything you need to know before we sweat out our live bets with you. DRS, some big NFL news yesterday around the National Football League. A couple of large extensions. First in Las Vegas, the Raiders now have their franchise quarterback, a 2-year, $75 million extension for Geno Smith, who was traded for earlier in the offseason from Seattle. That extension can be worth north of $85 million. And DRS, it ties Smith to the Raiders through the 2027 NFL campaign.
Yeah, when you have Bozo the Clown as your owner here, who has gifted the team from his father, and you've promptly run it into the ground outside of making money because everybody makes money in the NFL, Bozo the Clown does Bozo things like hiring a quarterback where you actually had to trade a draft pick for, pay more money, and Seattle got the better quarterback in Sam Darnold. There's two things you're doing in football. Either you're trying to win a championship or you're trying to lose enough to start to win a championship with draft capital, draft picks, and money under the cap. I have no idea what the Raiders are actually trying to do this season. It's a disaster franchise. And if you are a Raiders fan, which I don't know how many of them are out there, who play for Oakland, Los Angeles, they'll leave you in the wake. And in a couple years, they'll probably leave Vegas as well. And you'll be happy to do that to them. A bozo franchise with a bozo move here. Love to see it.
Donnie, you were pretty excited by the hiring of Pete Carroll to provide some stability for a franchise that was floundering. Some interesting moves, though, this offseason. Geno Smith, 34 years old, has played 11 years in the NFL. Las Vegas' win total is 6.5. The over has the juice. Some history yesterday for the Arizona Cardinals tight end in Trey McBride, signing a 4-year, $76 million extension. That is $19 million of annual average value, which makes McBride the highest paid tight end in NFL history. Last year, Kyler Murray's top target, more than 110 receptions, 1,146 receiving yards, both sensational numbers. The only thing McBride struggled to do, DRS, was get to the pay dirt. He only had 2 receiving touchdowns last year.
Yeah, he needs more than that. He does. But he is a sensational tight end, and that's what the market price is right now. I don't think anybody looks at that contract and says it's a bad one, like we just looked at Geno Smith and promptly laughed, because when you have your franchise quarterback and your win total is 6.5, you don't have your franchise quarterback if he's in his mid-30s. But Trey McBride, one of those players over the next 2 to 3 years, will cement himself as certainly, if not the best, one of the best tight ends in football. Like the move.
A smart move in the desert to sign him now, entering the final year of his rookie deal. He was a second-round pick out of Colorado State back in the 2022 NFL draft. Let's get to the NBA. Around the association last night, only 6 games, but a big one out in Southern California. The Golden State Warriors go on the road as an ever-so-slight dog and knock off the L.A. Lakers, 123-116, behind 37 points from Stephen Curry, 28 points from Brandon Podziemski in that starting five as well.
Good basketball game all the way through, but the Golden State Warriors were the better team. I liked the Lakers yesterday. -1, -1.5. Thought they would be the better side at home. Now, also, you take a look at the Golden State Warriors. Do have a game back-to-back flying home tonight to take on the Denver Nuggets. That'll be a tough one, but a big-time win for the Golden State Warriors. And Steph looks like he found a little of that fountain of youth right now, playing tremendous basketball.
Luka Doncic did not 0-6 from beyond the arc last night. Since Jimmy Butler played in his first game for the Warriors, Golden State is now 20-5 straight up. The Memphis Grizzlies in desperate need of a victory last night, trying to snap a 4-game slide, a 5-point road favorite in Miami against the streaking Heat, who had won 6 games in a row. It came down to the bitter end, and at the buzzer, a step-back jumper from near the free throw line finally goes down for Ja Morant and the Grizzlies. They win in Miami 110-108, snapping that 4-game slide. The Grizz getting back into the win column, which was desperately, desperately needed down the home stretch.
Big time shot for Ja, 30 points last night. You could say he came out guns blazing last night in that victory, which was a must win, -4.5. I thought they would cover the spread too, weren't able to do it. The Miami Heat with a lineup again that doesn't look like it's filled with a bunch of superstars playing good basketball on a night-to-night basis, even though they're under 500, win streak broken, that's okay. Memphis needed that one and finally got a victory here.
Yes, the Grizzlies certainly did. We'll put it into context around the Western Conference standings in just a little bit. How about Giannis Antetokounmpo? Without Damian Lillard doing all he can to make Milwaukee's future bright for a playoff run, 35 points, 20 assists, and 17 rebounds last night as the Bucks do hammer the Philadelphia 76ers as we expected. The first ever 35-point, 20-assist, 17-rebound game to hit those stat marks in an NBA game in league history.
Still impressive, even though it's against a G League opponent in the Philadelphia 76ers. They are warming my heart right now, doing the right thing by their fan base here, which so many teams in the NFL don't do that, like the Vegas Raiders. But let's get back to the Philadelphia 76ers. How about Adam Bona last night? 28 points, Ben. Come on now. Show some love for the young guys playing well, but understanding the task. Thank you, Nick Nurse. Keep the tank going. You're doing it perfectly.
A dem, Bona, but hey, that's neither here nor there. Nah, Milwaukee wins by 13 inside Wells Fargo Center. It was a 13-point spread in favor of the Bucks. Speaking of the tankathon for the 76ers, Tyrese Maxey, who has not played since early March, now out for the remainder of the year, it does seem.
Yeah, his finger hurts. God, I mean, I'm telling you, nobody tanks better than the Sixers, man, making up injuries as we go, losing basketball games with a chance to get Cooper Flagg. I haven't been more excited about the Sixers since we were winning like 10 games a year back in the day. I love this stuff.
May the ping pong balls ever bounce in your favor. The New York Yankees at home yesterday in the Bronx, avoiding a sweep against the D-backs, winning 9-7. Three more home runs hit by the Yanks. Torpedo bat or not, Aaron Judge has 5 this year.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. If you like to bet props, if you like to bet team totals and just have some fun, take a look at the Yankees this summer in the Bronx. Once you get those warmer temperatures, which you had a little bit last night, ball flies there. Love it, man. Love it.
We'll talk more about the MLB history for the Pinstripes a little bit later on. More on TEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Just over a week remains in the NBA regular season. Everybody has played at least 75 games in an 82-game regular season. Most teams have 5 or 6 games remaining down this final week. Plus, a week from Sunday, the end of the regular season around the association. So everything that happens now, if you are looking for a playoff spot, is trying to prime up that postseason position around your respective conference standings. And DRS yesterday in Southern California, in Los Angeles, a California contest, and perhaps an opening round of the playoffs preview between Golden State and L.A., that being the Lakers and the Warriors. L.A. was an ever so slight, basically moneyline pick'em favorite at home. The Dubs had other ideas. Golden State goes into Los Angeles, winning by 7, 123-116, outright as the slight dog, behind 37 points and 4 made triples from Stephen Curry.
Yeah, both of these teams shot over 43-point shots last night, so that war of attrition, 45%, though, for the Warriors on the road, 19 of 42, about 84% from the free throw line. Here's the thing. Like, I thought the Lakers would be the better team yesterday, not because it was like, hey, margin of, oh, we have better players than you, but just I liked the spot for them on their home court and thought they would prevail. They didn't do that. So I'm starting to, like, trying to reassess, like, what I'm actually going to get in the playoffs out of the Golden State Warriors, because it is clear with the addition of Jimmy Butler has really changed that team for the better here. Draymond Green, Steph Curry, like reinvigorated. Podziemski now 28 points last night, added into the starting lineup recently. I like what I see out of the Warriors. I just don't know, Ben, how to gauge them moving forward. Did you see the fourth quarter yesterday? By the way, 39 points for the Lakers, 35 for the Golden State Warriors. Both of those teams really hitting the gas pedal after lackluster performances all the way through. But for myself, I'm still in that waiting pattern. Like, what are the Warriors? Are they really this good? Could they do damage in the playoffs? A veteran-laden team with extra time to rest? Could they do something? That's what I'm trying to lay. But that's a big-time win for the Golden State Warriors, which I thought the Lakers would win last night.
DRS, Jimmy Butler's first game back on February 8th, a few days after he was traded for in that game or by the Miami Heat. He played against the Chicago Bulls. He hasn't been in the starting lineup every time. From that first game that Jimmy Butler played for the Dubs, Golden State is 20-5 straight up. You mentioned Brandon Podziemski, 8 of 10 from 3 last night in the starting five. Draymond Green, a crucial defensive play in the final minute or so of regulation to strip Luka Doncic to seal the win for Golden State. Here was the starting five last night for the Dubs. Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, Moses Moody, and Brandon Podziemski. That starting five altogether, now 13-0 straight up this year. That's NBA history where things stand at the moment. It is why you can feel confident about the Dubs. On the other side, the Lakers had won 3 of their last 4 entering last night. Prior to this recent stretch of good play with LeBron James now healthy and returning to that starting lineup for J.J. Redick, the Lakers had dropped 7 of their last 10. The Lakers entered last night the 3 seed in the Western Conference, slightly in front from a tiebreaker perspective of the Denver Nuggets. A loss last night, the Lakers fall back to the 4 spot. who is the 5 seed, that would be Golden State. So as you see it right there, comparing these two clubs, DRS, last night's game, as of this moment, would be a preview of the opening round of the playoffs in the Western Conference.
A really good one, too. And, like, that was one of the few games to look forward to last night, which were just in that holding pattern, waiting to get to the playoffs where the games actually seemingly matter again, when it, once again, it did matter last night. You can file these ones away. Yes, we're able to win on the road at the Lakers. We're able to play good basketball here, playing our best basketball down the stretch. And also, how do you handle that seeding here? Is it LeBron James and Luka Doncic, where you're going to play them all the way out the rest of this regular season, and then maybe a little bit worse for the wear once you get to the playoffs? So seeding is very important, particularly in the 4-5 matchup, because those two seedings flip there. Then all of a sudden, the other team has the home court advantage, which you know you would love to have in round number one. But again, the adjustments here on the Golden State Warriors of what you thought about them before Jimmy Butler and after Jimmy Butler, completely different at this point now. Impressive performances on a night-to-night basis for the Warriors, which does include Steph Curry's not out here saying, hey, you know what? I'll play point guard out here, make things happen. Like, no, he's taking control of the basketball, shooting the lights out as well.
I wonder, and we could probably find this out from our producer extraordinaire, Joe Friezo, what that price was on Golden State prior to the Jimmy Butler deal, what it was right after, and what it is now at an 8-1 price to win the Western Conference crown. Of course, that championship pedigree is still there in Golden State. So that would be a playoff preview of what we saw last night in the opening round 4-5 matchup around the Western Conference. The Lakers entered yesterday at +650 to win the West, moving back by a half buck at 7-1. DRS, it felt like a really good game because, as you mentioned, both teams at full health, both with a lot to play for, that motivation key, which we don't often see around the NBA down the tail end of a regular season. Pretty similar story in Miami. The Heat are a play-in tourney team in the Eastern Conference, but trying to play their best basketball to be a playoff team. They had won 6 straight entering last night, hoping for 7 in a row. The Grizzlies, on the other hand, have dropped into that play-in tournament category around the Western Conference with a recent spell of bad play. They have lost 4 in a row, 8 of their last 10 entering last night. So the Grizz in desperate need of a victory. And Ja Morant delivers a step back near the key that rattles home as Memphis wins it at the buzzer in Miami, 110-108. The Heat do cover as a 5-point home underdog. Ja Morant still using the finger guns, even though the NBA told him not to, at least gets to celebrate at the buzzer with a huge win for Memphis in a time they really needed a dub.
Yeah, boy, do they need that is exactly correct. And also, how about the Miami Heat, though? You play in Boston. You know you're getting up for that game. Maybe you've got to fly home. You got to play a Memphis Grizzlies team that absolutely needs a victory, and you play well. At least your superstars came to play. Bam Adebayo, 34 minutes on a back-to-back, 26 points in that game. Tyler Hero, 37 minutes, 12 of 23 from the floor for 35 total points here. We'll see how the Heat go. Do we expect big things in the playoffs from them? Not necessarily, but they are playing decent basketball, 35-42, playing much better than that. I thought the Grizzlies would win once again, and I thought they would cover. They didn't cover, but they got the win, and boy, did they need that. And again, for the Heat, it's good performance on a back-to-back against a team desperately needing that victory.
30 points out of Ja Morant. The Heat do have their 6-game win streak snap, but they had covered in all 6 wins and now make that 7 consecutive covers for Miami, including their last 4 as an underdog. With the victory, the Grizz move up to the 6th spot. Minnesota also winning last night, but based on tiebreakers, the Grizzlies out of the play-in tournament. Minnesota falls in alongside the LA Clippers. By the way, even after the trade for Jimmy Butler, the Dubs were 30-1 to win the West. Now they're 8-1. Shout out Joe Friezo. More on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
A Major League Baseball recap from a short 5-game slate on a Thursday around MLB before we get fully into a Friday in the second full weekend of this Major League Baseball season ahead. The New York Yankees at home last night, hosting the Arizona Diamondbacks, trying to avoid a sweep up in the Bronx after sweeping the Milwaukee Brewers in their opening set of the year, do just that behind more power and more offense. Three home runs hit as a team yesterday for the New York Yankees, including another one from Aaron Judge, make that five this year. Another one from Jazz Chisholm, make that four this year as well. 22 total home runs, DRS, for the New York Yankees this season. Five more than any other team through their first six games of a Major League Baseball season. The New York Yankees are absolutely mashing, and as you shared on a warm and humid day early in April up in New York City, up in the Bronx, the Yankees take advantage to avoid that sweep behind nine runs.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, how the statistics do pop out, because it doesn't, like, to start the season, which a lot of times, particularly Northeastern teams, 45 degrees, 50 degrees, cold weather temperatures, ball doesn't travel. But some of these games here in the Bronx have been played at very warm temperatures with the wind blowing out. Now you have the torpedo bats in there, and you have a lineup that certainly likes to swing for the fences. So a lot of things are going into this measure of why the Yankees are scoring a lot of runs and hitting a home run. And maybe the biggest one of all, they play in a Little League ballpark. Like, if you have guys that are powering the ball up this early in the season with that type of weather, it doesn't take much to hit a home run in Yankee Stadium. Yeah. That's a proven fact. So if you are building a team that's for Yankee Stadium, get them swinging toward that short porch in right field and take those uppercut hacks here, and it's working out in spades for the Yankees. Maybe they found something. It used to be the Dodgers, right? Team launch angle. They were the first ones to institute, we're going to change our launch angle to enable to hit more home runs, which resulted in a World Series a few years ago. And now the Yankees are using that approach, saying, you know what? Maybe this is about launch angle, and it's about a new bat that we can use to our advantage, and we're doing it. That shows a good, healthy organization. I like what I see from the Yanks.
The Yanks were a slight home favorite, Merrill Kelly, allowing nine earned against New York. They avoid the sweep, and a total of 9.5 does sky over. Aaron Judge, 3 of 5 with his fifth home run of the year, 4 ribbies yesterday. Judge is now the second player in Major League Baseball history since the RBI became official way back in 1920, so over a century of MLB. Aaron Judge is just the second player in that span through his first six games to have 5 homers and 15 RBIs. Who was the other? Babe Ruth back in 1932. Aaron Judge, the odds-on favorite to win the American League MVP award, would be his third in the last 4 seasons. The Cincinnati Reds, been a difficult start to this year for my Reds. I need 80 wins. They're stuck on 2. Why? Because since he has dropped 3 consecutive games, losing 1-0. Huge bounce back for Nestor Cortes, who against his former team last week gave up 8 earned and 5 home runs against the Yankees, returns to Milwaukee, has a 6-inning shutout, only allowing a single base knock. The Brewers get a victory over the Reds, but a 3rd consecutive 1-0 loss for Cincinnati. First time that has happened in Major League Baseball since 1960.
Yeah, not a great start for them, certainly at the plate. But you take a look at the game yesterday, I did like the under. You had 2 crafty lefties on the mound. And you did think that Nestor Cortes pitching in warm weather in the Bronx, slightly different than going into the dome of Milwaukee, where the ball wasn't going to travel as much. 6 innings pitch, 1 hit, no earned runs, 6 Ks, and 2 walks, which was great. And by the way, Lodolo on the opposite side, you say, you know what?
Really
what more can I do? 6 2/3 innings pitch, 4 hits, and no earned runs, 4 Ks, and no walks, and still lost that game, which is a shame. But the Brewers needed the victory, got it. The Reds just looking for something at the plate. I wonder what would happen if, like, the Reds played the Braves right now. Would they still be playing? Like, hey, you know what? It's 27 innings later. We haven't scored anyway either.
Yeah, it is difficult for Cincinnati at this moment. Not for the Phils. They complete their sweep of the Rockies yesterday. Not nearly as high scoring as we expected. Philadelphia winning 3-1. Yeah. They were greater than a $2 money line favorite. But DRS, a couple of guys we thought would be good at the dish. Bryce Harper, RBI double in the fifth. Kyle Schwarber, a home run in the seventh as well.
Yeah, I had a 4-leg parlay in a 3-0 game and hit all of those. And then I had 3 more RBI props in a 3-0 game and hit 2 of the 3 of those. So when you talk about threading the needle, that's exactly what I did yesterday. But we did expect more runs. And quite frankly, the Phillies should have more runs. Bases loaded opportunities, bad base running, all played into it. But the one thing the Phillies are getting really good early on against bad baseball teams, their starting pitching has been tremendous so far. We'll see if that changes tonight as the Dodgers come to town.
Taiwan Walker, a shutout over six innings. And to Donnie's point, the Phils get ready to host the Dodgers. L.A. is 8-0. Philadelphia is 5-1. No Freddie Freeman, though. Slipped in the shower on Sunday on the 10-day IL for the Dodgers. Let's set the stage for the Final Four next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A Final Four Friday live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, and we set the stage for everything you can expect to see on Saturday night in San Antonio, inside the Alamo Dome. Two games tipping just after 6 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. First up, the all-SEC affair in the Final Four. Florida and Auburn. The Tigers, the number one overall seed, yet an underdog against their conference foes in the Gators. The nightcap, Duke and Houston, the Blue Devils, the national championship favorites, and a 5.5-point favorite against Kelvin Sampson and his Cougs. All 4-1 seeds into the Final Four for just the second time ever in the history of the men's NCAA tournament, joining the year 2008. DRS, we touched on this idea yesterday. That year's Final Four, star-studded with names that you know from their time in the NBA. Of course, college basketball legends. We expected it to be a great Final Four. We actually had two games that were decided by at least 15 points, both rather lopsided affairs. The odds makers, of course, not expecting that for a Saturday night in San Antonio. What about you?
I'm expecting excitement. That's like, this is for me, Ben. Ones, 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 and ones. I love it because my argument all time, whether it's NCAA basketball, NCAA football, just give me the best teams at the end of the year and everybody will enjoy that. And again, we do like a little Cinderella run along the way. There's no problem with that. But the fact that I line up in this and say to myself, Florida, Auburn, Houston, Duke, I think both of them will be tremendous games. And we're all going to talk about the Houston Duke game, which has been battling between the 4.5s at the opening numbers, the 5.5s now. Where is that game actually going to line up by the time they tip off around 9 p.m. on Saturday night? But if you are a true basketball fan, there is not one single complaint that you should have for this weekend.
Right.
Sold out crowd in San Antonio, monster effort out of both of these teams. And also, one thing, Ben, no matter which way it goes, either one of these games, Monday night is going to be spectacular because it's not going to be a team that, hey, can their run continue? No, it's going to be like, we expected to be there. We have superstar players, and we expect to cut the nets down with the championship. We're all winners right now. Saturday is going to be phenomenal. Monday is going to be phenomenal. That's all that we asked for as a fan base.
And as I mentioned, in the 08 Final Four, also conveniently inside the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, Kansas blew out North Carolina by 18. Memphis blew out UCLA by 15. But then in that national championship game, a national title game that will live on in the lore of the madness in March or in early April, Mario Chalmers, with just a few seconds left in regulation, the step back three that sent it to overtime, Kansas winning by 7 in OT, 75-68 for the first national championship in Lawrence under Bill Self. So we are going to have a great few days in San Antonio. 3 days from now, a national champion will be crowned on a Monday night. And DRS, the betting public, really expects that to be the Duke Blue Devils. Year number three of the John Shire era in Durham. Duke entered this year before the season got started in early November at a plus 950 price to win a national championship. The betting favorites. Duke entered the big dance around a plus 280 number to win a national championship. The betting favorites. Duke will enter Final Four weekend in San Antonio as a slight minus money favorite to cut down the nets on Monday at minus 115. Is the price fair on the Blue Devils? Is it too strong in favor of Duke? And if so, DRS, does that open up some value elsewhere on that board?
I think it does open up some value for elsewhere on the board, which includes the team that they're playing in the Houston Cougars at that plus 430 number. But as I take a look at, look, Duke was plus 100. Which I was like, I don't know if I want to bet that to win a championship once the Final Four was announced. Now it's minus 115. When again, it's not as if like if you get by Houston, you get a layup from the like number 11 seed that made it through and you're going to pace that basketball team. Like I know like Duke played Butler at, like, you know what, 10, 15 years ago at this point, where that was probably supposed to be more of a blowout. And it wasn't like a half court shot that almost banked in. which would have taken Duke down. But I don't look at it that way. Like, Duke's got to get past an unbelievable Houston team and then get basically the SEC champion on the other side of it after an effort game that you know Duke's going to have to put in. And also understand this. Here's the problem. Like, Duke and Houston, depending on how that way goes, like, yes, let's just say Houston beats Duke. It'll still be a phenomenal final. Cooper Flagg gets knocked out, and the questions start to build around Duke, and we get the point. But let's just say Duke handles Houston, Ben. And I'm talking about, like, 75-55. Like, I just figure, like, this is the biggest – like, if Duke gets by Houston, I do believe they're going to be the national champion, even though Florida and Auburn are very good teams. Like, Houston is that one team where they're getting them in the perfect spot. Talking about Houston, in our home state, played back-to-back games already in a dome. You haven't done that. Yes, we know you're a good basketball team, but you still got some freshmen out there on a different stage where everything is ramped up. So if Duke gets by, let's just say, by the point spread, 70-65, okay, that was expected. But if Duke beats them, talking about Houston, by double digits, Monday night, man, just might be a coronation at that point to show you how damn good Duke has been this entire season.
DRS, those hypothetical odds are out. Of course, yeah. Duke will take on the winner of the SEC affair between Florida and Auburn. Duke would be a 6.5-point favorite against the Auburn Tigers. The Tigers are the number one overall seed in this NCAA tournament bracket. They would be around a 4.5-point favorite, that being the Blue Devils, if they were to take on UF. Yeah. So you are correct. Duke is the hefty national championship favorite. Even earlier this week, after this magical Final Four of all one seeds was set, Duke was around a plus 110, plus 105 price to win a national championship. That number ever improving in favor of the Blue Devils. And Donnie, of course, this will be a theme that you and I reiterate throughout this show. It's been shared so many times since this Final Four was set on Sunday evening. Not just all four one seeds into the Final Four in San Antonio, but we have four one seeds that even before the NCAA tournament entered with a KenPom net rating of plus 35 or better. In the last 20 years, two decades of college basketball, there were three teams in total over the entirety of that 20-year span that had a KenPom net rating of plus 35 or better. More teams at plus 35 in KenPom this year, all four of these one seeds, than in the last 20 years of college basketball. That is why we expect the chalk that has been here, the cream that has risen to the top, to put forth a couple of sensational performances on a Saturday night in the Final Four. DRS, of course, there is the team aspect of winning a national championship. Then there is the Final Four's most outstanding player. A reminder, what you have done so far in the big dance outside of getting your team to this stage does not really carry weight. It is your two performances in a Final Four matchup and a national championship contest. No surprise that Cooper Flagg is the favorite to win the MLB award at a plus 105 price. For Florida, Walter Clayton at a 4-1 number. That price individually only 90 cents behind the Gators number to win a national championship. So, DRS, as you look at the MLP odds, is there a spot where you find value with the individual over the team?
I'll tell you where I find no value. It's Cooper Flagg. Like, again, Duke is a minus 115. Well, Donnie, it's plus 105. Understand what Ben just told us here. This isn't a culmination award for the entire season. Like, yes, if Duke wins, Cooper Flagg's the best player. He's the MOP. This is two games here, which means you're supposed to be objective as a person voting on this. Let's just say the Final Four goes, all right, Con Knipple edges out in the Houston game, Cooper Flagg by 5 points. Let's just say points, rebounds, and assists, he's plus one better. And then the final comes up, and Flagg is tremendous again, but you know, Con Knipple gets him slightly again. We understand that Cooper Flagg is supposed to win that, but you also understand, like, well, who actually was the best player at the best time? Or is it Proctor dropping six triples against Houston in an unbelievable performance that knocks down four more in the championship game, and Flagg just has two good games back-to-back because he didn't really have to use them and be all that, you know, offensively and defensively dominant. There's no way I'm taking Flagg at that price point. Even if you tell me, Donnie, Duke's winning it and Flagg will win it. A plus 105, why would you do that to yourself? Because, again, it's two games here. Everybody basically has a clean slate. We're not saying, like, man, you see Flagg all the way through? He's unbelievable. That doesn't matter, even though some people will still vote as if that does matter, which is the issue here. But for me, Ben, when you're asking for value, I'm telling you where there's no value in Cooper Flagg for me.
Yeah, I think the secondary options, like a Con Knipple at 29-1, could be worth a sprinkle. Elijah Martin for Florida. The only best player that might present some value could be Jani Broome because it's $3 longer than that of Auburn's national championship price. Plenty more up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
A Final Four Friday live right here on the Early Line ahead of Final Four Saturday in the men's NCAA tournament tomorrow evening in San Antonio. As I have said, I don't have to wait until Monday to see that smiling face of my co-host Donnie Wrightside on the Early Line. We will be live together in studio tomorrow for Sports Grid's Bracket Central coverage of the Final Four. DRS and myself live for the opening game of the night. The all-SEC affair between Auburn and Florida. We go live at 6 p.m. Eastern. We expect the game to tip about 10 minutes after that. Then Kevin Walsh and the coach, James Young, will be live together for the nightcap between Duke and Houston as well. So, DRS, when we are live together, we'll be sweating out our pregame bets. We'll be trying to present those live wagering opportunities and reacting to everything that we see in San Antonio. So what will our pregame wagers be? Florida, a 2.5-point favorite against Auburn, and a total at 159.5. Conference mates who only did play once throughout the SEC slate this season. Florida going on the road to the plains of Auburn, Alabama, and winning outright as a double-digit dog in early February. Things very different now. The Gators, the slight favorite against the Tigers. Where does DRS begin his breakdown of the opening contest on Final Four Saturday?
Simple to me. Like, we don't even have to wait. Oh, I wonder when we go live tomorrow who Donnie's going to be on. It's the Florida Gators. It's not even a question in my mind. I see absolute value in the Gators because why? You did take a look at Florida going on the road to win 90-81 over Auburn previously. In that game, Jahni Broome was healthy and played. He scored 18 points over 31 minutes, 7 of 16 from the floor. What did he have here? 11 total rebounds in that game. That was a 100% healthy Jahni Broome. Now, understand this. He might be somewhat healthy for this game, but I look at it the same way. I don't want to outsmart myself. Then if I told you the Super Bowl was lining up and Saquon Barkley had a hamstring injury and A.J. Brown wasn't going to play, you'd be like, you know what? I think the Eagles can win, but I don't like that betting situation. Or any other sport. You're heading into the World Series. It's game number 7, and the best pitcher for one team is injured or saying, you know what? He's got a cap on his innings band of only 3.5 to see if we can get through there. Yeah. You probably like, you know what? I like him a little bit, but I don't trust it. You know what I like? Florida, healthy coming into this game, already with a victory, and the best player on your team, who's, again, not a point guard. Like, well, he's not going to drive to the rim. He's going to knock down three-point shot after three-point shot, and he'll guard the least, you know, talented offensive player at the top of the key and just rotate it around. Jahni Broome battles on the low post. Jahni Broome is a maven on defense, rebounds, block shots, active. Yeah. If he can only be 75% of that, and that's a good day for Jahni Broome right now with the elbow. How can I not take Florida? I've had this same stance, Ben, since Monday that I have Friday, and I'll have it tomorrow. It's Florida for me because Broome, I just don't know how healthy he's going to be.
In DRS, more than likely, if you are backing Florida, you are laying the 2.5 points, right? There is a chance, of course, we get a sensational game where Florida wins by 2 points or fewer and Auburn covers. But it does not seem, at least based on that short spread, that the team that wins tomorrow night inside the Alamo Dome will also not cover that pregame number. I bring that up because the Tigers have not been an underdog often this year. Just 3 times. They have won outright in 2 of those 3 games. A non-cover on the road against Duke in Durham. A win outright in their second game of the year against Houston. A win outright on the road in Tuscaloosa against their rivals in Alabama in a game that was the first 1-versus-2 matchup in the history of SEC men's basketball back in February. Jahni Broome was asked about the status of his elbow, how healthy he is feeling yesterday. yesterday. We heard from John Rothstein. Bruce Pearl and him were chatting. Jani Broome on the practice floor yesterday in San Antonio. Jani Broome made it seem like it wasn't really a big deal, that he was going to be ready to go, that he was going to be 100%, that there would be no limitations. But Donnie, it is a stark contrast from where we saw Jani Broome on Sunday evening, walking off the floor with about 10 minutes remaining in regulation, motioning to his team, to his head coach, Bruce Pearl, and kind of mouthing the words, "I'm done." Came back about 5 minutes later, even hit a three, but was seen nursing that right elbow. Is it a big deal that Jani Broome is a lefty and it's his non-shooting arm? Maybe, but to Donnie's point, he's battling down low in the post with the bigs trying to grab rebounds, where Jani Broome has had at least 11 boards in all four wins for Auburn so far in the big dance.
That's the whole picture. And also understand this. Let's just say Jani Broome is healthy tomorrow. I still like the Florida Gators. It's just like that bonus point that you look for, where if he's not truly 100%, and guess, he is not going to be 100%. You just don't have a non-functioning arm a week before and be like, hey, you know what? I'm ready to get out here and ball. Because understand this. He might feel really good to start the game. But what happens when you go down low and Alex Condon knocks you down, you hit the floor, you brace on that elbow, and you feel the tweak again? It's going to happen. It's going to pop up at this point. Unless he was just pulling a work in wrestling, it's like, you know what? I'm fine. I just want to get some sympathy and support out here and act like I'm really a true hero for this team by coming back into the game. But I don't know if he was on that level of a pro wrestler, because he looked like it affected him. And also, do you know how you know it affected him? Monday and Tuesday, he would have been out on the practice court. Like Bruce Pearl said, yes, he returned to practice moving around a bit. You know he didn't get any, you know, collisions on the low blocker, had to play tough defense. Yes, he can run around and get back to practice to get the feels and get the passes and work on his shooting. Yeah. But I'm telling you right now, it's a completely different situation when you get into a game where you have a wide open dunk and you're getting met by a 7-footer at the rim and it's going to be hard contact. We'll see how that elbow holds up at that point.
Listen, these two teams know each other. There is no doubt. They are SEC foes, but only one meeting. So a little bit different, perhaps, than the Volunteers and the Wildcats last weekend in Indianapolis, Tennessee. Yeah. Hard to beat a team three times. The Vols did win that game. You see the comparison between these two squads. Everybody left DRS with how talented these teams are by the metrics, ranked top 10 on both offense and defense. Duke, the only team that ranks top 5 in both. As we look at the total, 159.5. If you are confident in the Florida Gators, what does that mean for your thoughts in terms of the total, where we have seen a Florida team go over the number in all four games so far in the big dance?
I'm going under. Like, my best player, who's my best scorer there, and Jani Broome, might be injured a little bit. Did you see their offense when he left the court there for the final 10 minutes? Looked like they were just throwing up prayers from the three-point line. You're just lucky that you're playing a Michigan State team that's not that effective on offense, you know, outside of Big Ten play and just playing Izzo ball at that point. So for me, I agree. The public has bet that down from 161. You're in a dome football stadium in the first game of the Final Four. Do you expect them to shoot the lights out to start the game? No. Under for me.
How about the players on the biggest stage in San Antonio? Next. Yep.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Live right here on this Final Four Friday. Looking forward to Final Four Saturday night in San Antonio. Our opening game of two tomorrow night in the Alamo Dome. It's the all-SEC affair between Auburn, the number one overall seed in the 2025 men's NCAA tournament, taking on the one seed in the champs out of the West region in Florida. DRS, a focus on the total that was north of 160 earlier in the week, now at 159.5. The Alamo Dome is a big stadium, not just your usual basketball arena. Total has dropped sub 160. For a Florida team, though, that is very interestingly enough playing all four of their games so far in the big dance to an over, 11 consecutive overs for Todd Golden and his Gators, but often a team that is rather efficient on the offensive side of the floor. Meanwhile, for the Tigers, under in three of four games so far in the big dance, including both of their matchups last weekend in Atlanta, Auburn under in five of its last six. DRS, you are still leaning to the under in the first game tomorrow night in San Antonio. One thing I am very excited by, that we will be together live from the Great Garden State tomorrow, I can finally bet some player props. So let's look on at the Stars in the most significant spot of their season in a Final Four. First, a focus on Florida's side. And when you start with the Gators, you start with Walter Clayton Jr. 20.5 is his points prop, a number he has cleared in three of the four wins for UF in the tournament. He has had at least 23 every time he has gone over 20.5.
Yeah, for me, I look at that and say, could Walter Clayton have a really good game and the Florida Gators lose? Surely he can. The one thing he can't have is a bad game, and I think the Florida Gators can win this. The only problem I have is sometimes when I step up in these situations, I don't go for the big dogs on either side. Like, let's just say we're talking Walter Clayton Jr. right now and Jani Broom. I probably won't be on either one of those. Maybe a Clayton prop if he's hitting three-pointers early, if they're giving it to him. That's something we can jump into live in-game and certainly have some fun with. But it's the secondary scoring options because I'm still like old school in my beliefs. When you line up in a basketball game, if you are Florida and you say their coaching staff, who do we have to stop? It's Jani Broom. Does that mean you stop him? No, because then everybody would just say, let's try to stop him and beat Auburn at this point. Same thing with Walter Clayton. The one thing Auburn and Bruce Pearl are going to say is, well, we can't just say we'll let Walter Clayton beat us and then we'll try to defend everybody else. That's really not the best game plan that you can have. So the secondary scoring options that I'm really interested in, almost like a Denver Jones here for the Auburn Tigers, where I need a guy who can get to the free throw line, make his free throws. I need a guy that's going to be available from the three-point line, because if you do have any form of Jani Broom on the one side as being like a decoy type of player, well, then other guys are going to have to feed off of it. Same thing with Walter Clayton. You take a look at Martin. You take a look at Richard and Hall at this point. I think those are the guys that will be more focused on sort of going down the ladder, where it just takes a nice start. 5 points in the first 10 minutes, 7 points in the first half, and you're living for that second half. So for me, Ben, not necessarily focused on the points for Walter Clayton or Jani Broom. Give me those secondary options that we'll make a decision on over the next 24 hours.
In that West Regional Final, it was Thomas Houck off the bench for Florida. 20 points, 11 boards, and 4 made triples. Even to hit just 1 3 tomorrow night for Houck, it's -154. Walter Clayton Jr. has taken 6 triples in all 4 games for Florida in the NCAA tournament. His worst shooting night against the Terps in the Sweet 16. Every other night, at least 3 made threes. That's a -136 number. Of course, DRS on the other side. Jani Broom leads the way for Auburn. You are probably not going to bet that prop, seeing as you are a little bit cautious of his health, but 19.5 is that number. The only other player that reached double digits in that South Regional Final win against Michigan State was the freshman from Jersey City. That's Tahad Pettiford. He had 10 points. He has made at least 2 threes in all 4 wins for Auburn in the Big Dance.
Yes, and it may, again, secondary type options. But understand this too, like Jani Broom, like, are we even getting any discounts, Ben? Averaging roughly 18.5 points per game this season, coming in with an elbow injury against a really good defensive team on a neutral court where he might not be all that effective as he usually is on the low block. Like, I can't see anybody lining up this weekend with Auburn saying, like, it's going to be my guy Broom. I'm going to bet him to win MOP. It just doesn't make sense. Now, the good part about it, Ben, as you said, live props here in New Jersey will love that. You know, Broom goes first 3 possessions, 3 for 3 with a reverse layup, a dunk, and a 3-point shot made. You're like, whoa, here we go. Then you start to dip in and say, okay, 25-plus points, maybe 30-plus points. I need to see him on the court to see how effective he is before I bet him, which means, you know, I'm looking towards Florida. But the props will be fun. The secondary options scores in a game around 160, yeah, we're going to get some points.
There is a lot of talent for both teams that you can really find some value with some shorter numbers in the points props. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. DRS, Jani Broom in both of the games in Atlanta, Sweet 16 and Elite 8, had a double-double at the half. We'll see how hot of a start he gets off to tomorrow night in the Final Four. Hour number 2, up next.